Father, bless these words. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected? This is one of the most difficult things for the believer to do. There is a type of introspection that is negative, and we don't do that. That introspection usually comes along with condemnation. For example, a message comes, for example, from the pulpit, and I try to force it into myself, because in my own mind, I haven't been convicted, but I got guilty. That can happen, for example, when a person has made a mistake and then they get right, and they're no longer living in that error. And a message comes regarding that type of error, that kind of sin perhaps, and they get guilty, even though they are now right with God, and that guilt is not a bona fide guilt. There is, of course, a guilt that is bona fide, where I am actively pursuing a sin or living actively in an error, and then a message comes and convicts me. And that can bring a healthy guilt. But there is this unhealthy guilt that is through introspection of the wrong sort. But there is a healthy introspection. Examine me. Examine me and test me. Right? Evaluate yourself. Examine and evaluate. I examine and I evaluate. To see, I do it for myself, to see whether I'm holding my faith and showing the proper fruits of it. A lot of times believers do not get careful about how they think and what they think. And what Paul is saying here is be metacognizant, if you want to use modern terminology. Be metacognizant. In other words, think about your thinking. How is it that you are in fact, like, think about your thinking. You get into a circumstance, something happens, and you have these thoughts that come up. Think about your thinking. Why? Because this thinking that I do in the circumstances is essentially who I am, right? In Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So these circumstances that catch me off guard, perhaps, where these thoughts come to mind, these circumstances really define who I am in my experience, certainly not in my position. So Paul is saying here, think about your thinking. Do you have the mind of Christ that you are operating with? Like, think about it, not in a condemning way, but just for a way of understanding and relating. Something happens. What's your response? Like, be honest with yourselves. Now, this is a hard thing for us to do as believers. Because sometimes, although I may love God, I may be sincere towards God, I may have a heart after God, but sometimes if I really get honest with myself, I will say, I don't really have the cross in my life. It comes out often in the things that I say, or how things affect me. For example, a circumstance comes my way and I get very angry. Well, why am I angry? Is that anger reflecting the fruit of the Spirit? Why am I angry? Is that anger reflecting the heart of God in the circumstances? Sometimes maybe it is. Maybe God has holy anger, and sometimes anger is right. But sometimes it is not right. I'd say more often than not, it is not right. More often than not, it is simply an expression of my flesh. Or do I get scared? Something happens and I get very frightened. Is that the fruit of the Spirit? Well, no, it isn't. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So the Bible says, examine yourselves. Test and prove yourselves. And not Christ. How often does something happen and I want to prove Christ but not myself? Like, I'll accuse God. Something doesn't go my way and I'll accuse God perhaps of not being faithful or not answering prayer or not keeping promises. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to test God. But Paul says, don't do that. Test yourself. Like, what is the heart in me that causes me to do this with God? To accuse Him? What is that heart in me? That's a big red flag when I do that. What is the heart in me that would take my brother and say, you, and you are this or you are that, or you have done this or you have done that because I have become angry? And Paul says, don't do that. He says, test yourself, prove yourselves, and then you will see if you bear the fruits of the Spirit or no. Now most of us, if we were honest, we would say that there are times at least that we do not bear the fruits of the Spirit. And that would be very much like where Peter was. At the one moment he says, you are the Son of God. And the next moment he says, you will not go to the cross. And Jesus calls him Satan. And I think we as believers are frequently like Peter was there. And the one moment we say, you are the Son of God and God is glorified in my heart. And the next moment I have a completely worldly or satanic even or selfish response. You know, when I see this in myself, it's not something I get condemned about. And it's important that I not be condemned when I see it. Because condemnation is a hiding place for the flesh. What I want to get into is no condemnation, where I take what the Holy Spirit sees in me in an honest introspection, in a godly introspection, and I say, okay, God, I have these needs. Okay, God, I'm not right in this area, but I don't know how to be right in this area. And I take these things in prayer to my Savior, and I present them at the cross, and I say to Him, God, you fix this, please. And you know what happens when you do that? He fixes them. He actually fixes those areas in our lives. You see, we as believers are so funny that way. We see an area of our lives that is lacking and we focus on it in our own selves, terrified that someone else will see it. But God says, don't worry that it is there. Bring it to me. We think that somehow we are going to be found less than or guilty or coming short. And God says, I know it's there. Just bring it to me. And so what I do is I bring Him my faults and my failures. And I bring Him my ashes, if you will. And He gives me beauty. And I say, God, I have this problem in my flesh. Maybe I'm someone who's given to moods or a temper or to some prevailing lust pattern. And I say, God, I have this problem in my flesh. And God says, come here and I'll fix it. But what we do is we allow the problem to become a source of self-consciousness for us. Where instead of receiving God's solution for the problem, we continue in the problem such that it just keeps going. And it becomes very large in my own head. And I'm very conscious of it and I work very hard at preventing other people from knowing it's there. But it's getting harder and harder. And now one of two things will happen to the person who is there. Either they will quit and submit to the problem, or they'll come to the cross where you start worrying about the problem. God never said that we are the authors and finishers of our faith. God said Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. What we do, though, is we guard our heart in Proverbs chapter 4. We guard our heart and we keep it with all diligence. Because out of it flow the springs of life in the Amplified. Those things which are my life are made up by that which is in my heart. And so I guard it very carefully. And although I know that in me there is really no good thing, by the way, that was not a surprise to God. He wrote it in His Bible. Although I know in me there is really no good thing, I could list 10,000 things that are not good in me. But He still calls me His beloved. And I still guard my heart and I don't fellowship with those things that will cause my situation to be worse. I don't reinforce the flesh. I guard my heart against the things that do. In Psalm 26 and verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test my heart and my reins. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth faithfully. I do not sit with false persons, nor fellowship with pretenders. I hate the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, that I may make the voice of thanksgiving heard and may tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Gather me not with sinners and sweep me not away with them, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is wickedness, and their right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful and gracious to me. My foot stands on an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord." See, the psalmist here knew what his thoughts were. You see, the whole thing behind examining my thoughts, examine yourselves and evaluate your own selves whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. It's not a guilty thing and it's not a condemning thing and it's not a burdensome thing if I think about it correctly. It's actually a thing that's extremely releasing. What it is, it's like saying, okay, let's say you have perhaps a soldier and who's been through a battle. And he comes out of the battle and he looks at himself to see where the wounds are. And he doesn't look at the wounds to be condemned by the fact that he had been wounded in battle. He looks at the wounds so that they can be treated and healed. And if there is a sore or a cut or a break of some sort, he gets treatment for it and it's healed. But he has to look at himself first. In the proper sense, with a Holy Spirit perspective, we look at ourselves and say, okay, where are the parts that need healing? Where are the parts that God needs to fix? And we take those parts and we say, God, this is broken in me. And God fixes it. I don't get it fixed by hiding the fact that I have a weakness. I get it fixed by taking my weakness to the cross, telling my Savior all about it, and letting Him heal me. You know, He will do that. The reason why it's important to do that is so that the fruit of the Spirit can come out. We are all humans. We all have an old sin nature. Mine is no better than yours. And we all have these areas where we need God to fix things. We're all human. We're all in a battle. We all get shot at if we bear the fruits of the Spirit. We all have to wrestle with the world. And all of us need God to fix something in us. So we examine it because it's blocking the fruits of the Spirit in certain areas of our lives. And we look at it and we find it. And we say to God, here it is. By doing that, we guard the good treasure in our heart. By doing that, we foster the good treasure in our heart. And so, in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. You see, if you have a situation, and all of us have some, there is not a human being alive that is exempt from this. But if you have a scenario or a situation where there's a weakness in you, whether it be in your emotions or whether it be a lust pattern or a prevailing sin, whether it be something like fear or guilt, whether it be something like a mood or anger, whatever it happens to be for you, don't try to pretend it's not there with God. Because hiding yourself isn't going to change that. Hiding yourself is going to keep you from having God deal with it. And He's not going to deal with it harshly. He's going to deal with it gently. And He's going to bring you to the place where the fruit of the Spirit can come out in that area also. He's going to bring you to a place where you are conformed to the image of Christ in all aspects of your life. How many people, and we know this about ourselves when we are there, how many people are one way in front of one group of people and another way in front of another group of people? You know what that is? That's an area of my life that God hasn't touched yet. So it's extremely important that I not hide it from Him. But in the privacy of my prayers, I say, God, this is how I am with this people, and this is how I am with that people. And God says, okay, come here. And I draw near to Him with that area. And I bring it to Him, and I confess it to Him each time I fail there. And He cleans me. He heals me. He makes it right. He takes care of it for me. And He fixes the problem. Never run from God with your problem like this. The only way to have it fixed is to come to Him with it. Don't be guilty that you have it. You're a human being. I have them, you have them. I'll guarantee you that every person in this room has something. If you didn't, you'd be home with the Lord. Whatever it is, don't be afraid to come to God. He knows about it anyway. Don't live in that separation that even Adam experienced just because there is something broken. If there is something broken, bring it to Him and He'll heal it and He'll make it whole. And before you know it, maybe not overnight, but before you know it, it's no longer a problem. For example, the angry man, before he knows it, when he takes his anger to God, puts it to the cross, gets built up by God's promises toward himself and the love of God towards himself, soon he's no longer angry. The fearful man, when he builds himself up in the love of God and the faithfulness of God, soon he is no longer fearful. The person who suffers from moods, when that person builds themselves up in God's compassion and kindness and God's faithfulness and God's loyalty, soon they do not suffer from moods. When I build myself up in the Word of God, the things that were of my flesh go away. Because my spirit is fed. And that which is born from above does not sin. Only that which is born from below sins. And so I nourish that which is born from above in the areas of my weaknesses, and my weaknesses become my strengths. Amen.